Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Lech Lecha. Please tell your friends about the podcast. People tune in because someone they know mentions it to them. And remember that you can listen to the podcast directly from the website. Just go to podcasts.pardesusa.org, or you can listen via iTunes or any other podcast tool. This week, Rabbi Levi Cooper returns and discusses Parsha Lech Lecha. Rabbi Levi Cooper is a faculty member at Pardes. He is also the author of the weekly column World of the Sages, which is published by the Jerusalem Post. You can subscribe to his written column via email from the Pardes website. And now, Rabbi Levi Cooper.
Thank you, Larry. The biblical passage where Israel is instructed to despoil Egypt as part of the Exodus has provoked and indeed continues to provoke discomfort amongst readers. The entire issue begins in this week's parasha, Parashat Lech Lecha, with the promise that God made to Abraham. In Perek Tetvav, Pasuk, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet, we read, Vayomer la Avram yadoa teida ki ger yezar acha be'eretz lo lahem. God says to Abraham, who at that time was called Avram, you should know that your children, your descendants, will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Vavadum ve'inuotam arba'a meot shana, and they will enslave them and afflict them for 400 years. Vegamet agoy asher yavodu dan anochi, says God, and also the nation that they will work, I will judge. Va'acharei chen yetzu birchush gadol, and afterwards they will depart with great property. The divine promise that we would leave with rechush gadol is not so troubling. What we need to address is really how this promise was actualized. When God instructs Moses about his mission, we find in Parshat Shemot, Perek Gimel, Psukim Chaf to Chaf Bet, V'shalachti et yadiv hikati et Mitzrayim, I'll send my hand and smite Egypt, b'chol niflootai, with all my wonders, asher e'eseh, that I will do b'kirbo amongst the nation of Egypt, v'achareichen yeshalach etchem, and after that, Egypt will send you. V'natati etchen ha'am hazeh b'enei Mitzrayim, and I will place the favor or grace of this nation in the eyes of Egypt, v'haya ki telechun lo telchu rekam, and it will be when you will leave, you will not leave empty-handed. How will this happen? Pasuk Chaf Bet. V'sha'ala isha mishchenta u'migarat beita klei chesef uchlei zahav, and each woman will sha'ala, ask or borrow from her neighbor or from the one who is living in her house, klei chesef uchlei zahav, silver vessels and gold vessels, usmalot and dresses, v'samtem al bneichem v'al bnoteichem, and you will place them on your children, your sons and your daughters, v'nitzaltem et Mitzrayim. V'nitzaltem, probably best translated as you will despoil or perhaps plunder, perhaps take advantage of Egypt. Immediately before the final plague, God says to Moses in Parshat Bo, Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim Bet V'Gimel, Daber na bo'znei ha'am, v'yish'alu ish me'et re'ehu, v'isha me'et re'uta, klei chesef uchlei zahav. Speak, please, in the ears of the people, and tell them that each person, every man from his friends, every woman from her friends, should v'yish'alu, they should borrow or ask, klei kesef uchlei zahav, silver vessels and gold vessels. Vayiten Hashem etchen ha'am b'enei Mitzrayim, gam ha'ish Moshe gadol ma'od b'eretz Mitzrayim b'enei avdei faro u'v'enei ha'am. The beginning of that pasuk is what concerns us. Vayiten Hashem etchen ha'am b'enei Mitzrayim, the Egyptians would look favorably upon the Jewish people, and thus they would give them the clay kesef uklei zahav, the silver and gold vessels. Later on in that parsha, this is indeed what occurred. We read further on, Perek Yud Bet, Psukim Lamed Hei to Lamed Vav, Uvnei Yisrael Asu Kidvar Moshe, and the Jewish people indeed do as Moshe instructed. Vayishalu Mimitzrayim Klei Chesef Uchlei Zahav Usmalot, and indeed they requested, they borrowed Klei Kesef, silver vessels, Klei Zahav, gold vessels, Usmalot, and garments. Vashem Natan Etchen Ha'am Beinei Mitzrayim, Vayash Ilum Vayenatzlu Et Mitzrayim. And God caused the Egyptians to favor the Jewish people, and indeed, Vayash Ilum, they caused them to lend them. In other words, they took, they borrowed, they asked for these vessels, Vayenatzlu Et Mitzrayim, and they despoiled Egypt. With the instruction to borrow gold and silver utensils, we must ask, was the Almighty sanctioning deception? Was the fledgling nation justified in carrying off Egyptian goods? Now, we may have to stop for a moment, because in truth, this was probably standard practice in times of war during the biblical era. Just for an example, we find in Divrei Hayamim Bet, in 2 Chronicles, Perek Chaf Pasuk Chaf Hei, Vayavo Yehoshaphat Va'amo, Lavoz Et Shlalam, and Yehoshaphat and his nation came to plunder the goods, Vayimtzu Vahem Larov, and they found so much, Urechush, Ufagarim, Uchlei Chamudot, lots of different types of objects, Vayenatzlu Lahem, Le'en Masa. Vayenatzlu, the same word we just read from Shmot Perek Gimel, Vayenatzlu, they despoiled, Le'en Masa, there was so much they couldn't carry, Vayu Yamim Shlosha Bozazim Et Hashalal Kiravu. They spent 3 days plundering because there was so much spoil. There was so much spoils. So we see that it may have been common practice. Nevertheless, we may ask whether such actions are worthy paradigms to be imitated. The history of grappling with this passage is long and vigorous. Our sages deal with the issue in a passage in the tractate Brachot, page 9a and b, Daf Tet Amud Aleph V'Amud Bet. They suggest that the key to understanding the Almighty's instructions to Moses is the use of the beseeching please, or I beg of you. Let us read that pasuk again from Shmot Perek Yud Aleph, Exodus 11:2. Daber na ba'oznei ha'am. Vayishalu ish me'et re'ehu v'isha me'et re'uta klei chesef uchlei zahav. Daber na. Please ask. Please speak to the people so that they will borrow the goods. The Talmud explains. Daber na ba'oznei ha'am. Amrei devei rabbi yanei. They said in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Yanei, Ein na. The term na in the Bible has one connotation. Ein na ela lashon bakasha. The term na has the intimate a bakasha, a request. The Talmud then paraphrases God's charge to Moses. Amar le Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, Bavakasha mimcha, please, lech veemor lahem leYisrael. Please go and speak to the Jewish people. Ask them to borrow these gold and silver vessels. Bavakasha mikem, please, I ask you, says God to the Jewish people, Shalu mimitzrayim klei kesef uchlei zahav. Go and borrow from the Egyptians gold and silver vessels. Shelo yomar oto tzadik, so that tzadik, that righteous person, referring to Abraham, he should not charge against me. Va'avadum ve'inu otam ki em bahem. Your first part, the first part of your promise, God, where you said that you will enslave them and afflict them, ki em bahem, you indeed fulfilled against them. Va'achareichen, the continuation of the pasuk, va'achareichen yetzu b'rechush gadol, when you promised to take them out with great wealth, lo ki em bahem, what, you didn't fulfill that? God turns to the Jewish people, to Moses, and turns to the Jewish people and says, please, help me fulfill my promise to Abraham that we read in this week's parasha. This exhortation was necessary because at that time, the enslaved Jewish people were solely concerned with swiftly escaping Egyptian custody. Our sages continue with the response of Israel. Amru lo. They turned and they responded to him, and it's unclear whether they responded to Moses or perhaps directly to God. Ulevai shenetze ba'atzmenu. We wish only to leave ourselves. Property issues, divine pledges to Abraham were of no interest to the trapped, freedom-desiring people. The Talmud concludes the passage with a short parable. A person who is incarcerated in prison and is told, you will be taken out of jail and be given vast wealth. The prisoner responds to these tidings, I beg of you, take me out today and I desire nothing more. Let's read the parable in the original. Mashal Adam, a parable to a person, Shayach Havush Beveta Asurim, who was imprisoned in a jail. Vayu Omrim Lo Bnei Adam, and people said to him, Motzi'im Otcha L'machar Mibeta Asurim, tomorrow you'll be taken out of jail. Ve'notnim Lecha Mamon Harbe, and you'll be given much wealth. Ve'omer Lahem, and the incarcerated person says to them, Bavakasha Mikem, please, Hotzi'uni Hayom, take me out today. And I don't ask you for anything more. So that's the approach that we find in the Talmud. One commentator, the Ran, a 14th century Spanish commentator, followed this Talmudic passage. He acknowledges that the despoiling of Egypt in this manner was a necessary part of the divine plan. He goes further, however, saying that the Jewish people felt that the task at hand was foreign, was disgraceful. It was the odious nature of what Israel was being asked to do that necessitated the Almighty first beseeching Moses to pass the directive on to Israel and further imploring Israel to fulfill the request. The approach suggested by this passage was followed by Talmudic sages and later by biblical commentators over the ages of exegesis, providing us with a gamut of perspectives on the plundering of Egypt. The common denominator amongst the approaches suggested is the attempt to justify the deed and expose its appropriateness. Thus, many commentators note that the Egyptians gave items to the Jewish people willingly, acknowledging their debt and wishing to repay their Jewish creditors. We find this approach in the 11th century commentator from France, the famous Rashi. In this light, the act can hardly be termed plundering or despoiling, and the moral cloud hanging over the biblical episode somewhat dissipates. Other commentators cite a grand divine rule of property rights. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, "LeDavid Mizmor, LaHashem Haaretz Umloa, Tevel VeYoshvei Va. LaHashem Haaretz Umloa, the entire world and everything in it belongs to the Almighty. The Almighty, who is the rightful owner of everything, allocates temporal ownership with infinite wisdom. At the Exodus, there was a justified redistribution of God's assets. This explanation we find in the Ibn Ezra, a 12th century Spanish commentator. Another approach relies on the legal maxim that under certain circumstances a person may carry out judgment without recourse to the court system. Egypt unlawfully held assets of Israel, and the despoiling was aimed at effecting lawful restitution. What debt did the Egyptians owe Israel? On what grounds was redistribution from Egypt to Israel equitable? What assets under Jewish ownership were the Egyptians holding? Various suggestions have been offered. First, in his tenure at the helm of Egypt, Joseph had amassed great wealth. The Pasuk indeed tells us in Parshat Vayigash, Genesis chapter 27. Vayelaket Yosef et kol hakesef hanimtza ve'eretz Mitzrayim uve'eretz Kanaan. And Joseph gathered all the money that, or all the silver that was to be found in Egypt and in the land of Canaan. When Joseph died, his assets were seized and appropriated to the coffers of Egypt. It was these property interests that were now being returned to Jewish hands as Israel prepared to leave Egypt. Alternatively, the departing Jewish people were forced to abandon unmovable property. In exchange for what they were leaving behind, the Egyptians handed over movable goods that could be taken on the journey to the promised land. In this way, the despoiling of Egypt was in fact a legitimate exchange of property, not a unlawful plunder. A third possibility of Egyptian indebtedness is the unpaid wages to the Jewish workers for the lengthy duration of their enslavement. Moreover, according to Jewish law, a freed slave is granted an entitlement by his master as a parting gift. In Parshat Re'eh, in the book of Deuteronomy, we find Ki machel lecha achicha ha'ivri o ha'ivriya, after the sale of a slave, a Jewish slave, who serves for 6 years and then goes out in the seventh year, v'chit shalchenu chofshi, when you send him free, me'imach, from you, lo teshalchenu reikam, do not send him empty-handed. Rather, ha'anek ta'anik lo, you have to give him an entitlement, a bestowment, mitzoncha, umigornecha, umiikvecha, from your flocks, from your granary, from your cellars, asher berachacha Hashem Elokecha, that God has blessed you with, from all of that, titen lo, you should give him. The pasuk there in Sefer Dvarim continues and explains the logic connecting it to our story, connecting it to the enslavement in Egypt. V'zacharta, and you will recall, ki eved hayita be'eretz Mitzrayim, that you were a servant, a slave in the land of Egypt. Vayiftecha Hashem Elokecha, and God redeemed you. And perhaps the subtext here is, and God redeemed you and made sure you had something in your hands as you left. Al ken, therefore anochi metzavcha et hadavar hazeh hayom, therefore I am commanding you regarding this matter today. Utensils that were borrowed were therefore given in lieu of these rights that a slave has upon freedom. Other commentators shy away from a discussion of financial rights and obligations. They read the biblical passage through a universal moral lens. Thus, one commentator suggests that the entire biblical episode aims at teaching us that the Almighty does not forsake the oppressed, the exploited, and the abused. Reading the passage should make us realize that God will exert any effort to ensure that the ill-treated will be looked after and cared for. This explanation we find in one of my favorite commentators, the 19th century Italian Chadal. An honest appraisal of the explanations offered above may reveal that some approaches sound more apologetic than intrinsic to the text. Certainly, the Bible uses terms that are not normally employed to describe repaying debts nor lofty moral principles. Thus, coming to grips with the biblical passage remains a challenging endeavor, and I would hardly claim that the problem has been laid to rest. The preponderance of commentators who grappled with the issue, however, do provide me with some comfort. Our forebears understood that whatever the secrets of the biblical passage, one message is clear. Our tradition cannot be suggesting a paradigm of wily, devious behavior. Despoiling an enemy under the pretense of borrowing utensils is unacceptable. Reading the commentators, we may conclude what the biblical lesson cannot be. It remains for us, however, to reveal what the passage is trying to teach us. Thus we continue on the quest of unlocking the mysteries of the hoary texts of our heritage.
Thank you, Rabbi Cooper. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.